Well, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're starting a new series today entitled True Identity. And as you know, that identity is one of those things that you hear about all the time. It's basically who someone is. It's who you are. And so as you think about, hey, what's my true identity? The reality is, if we talk about a true identity, that means there's probably a mistaken identity. There's a false identity. And there can be a stolen identity. And so we want to talk about what a true identity is. And when you read in the paper today or you watch the news, what you hear over and over again that may trouble you is simply a conversation about people trying to determine their identity. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Over and over again, if you kind of look at the current climate of society and our culture, that's what it's saying over and over again. This is, we're having identity issues. I saw where California passed a law, I think, last week, that said if you have over 500 employees in your store, you have to have a gender-neutral aisle for toys. I'm not sure what that is. But what that is telling you there's a lot of conversation about identity, and people are having a hard time determining their true identity. The Department of State, United States, decided this summer that you get a new passport, you can choose male or female. Regardless of what other documents say, you can choose male or female. You say, what is that all about? It means there's a conversation taking place in our culture that people are trying to determine, who am I, why am I here, and what is my purpose? State of Oklahoma just recently passed a new law, or the courts ruled it was okay for their Department of Health. If you're born, you have a baby, you don't have to determine whether it's male or female on the birth certificate. You say, what's that about? People trying to determine, who am I, why am I here, and what is my purpose? One of the things you understand about society is this, is you may not be having those kind of conversations with people in a building like this. People who are tuning in today are still having that question, man, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is it all about? I see it all the time in the way life plays out, and you do too. I see so many people with a lack of peace. I mean, they're just troubling, and they try to alleviate that through some type of medication or alcohol or drugs or relationships. But what it is there's a lack of trying to figure out who I am. How many of you have ever worked with somebody you just couldn't get along with? Don't point at them if they're in the building, right? You got that person in mind? You just couldn't get along with them. You know, the best part of that is what? You get to go home at the end of the day and leave them there. Or they got to go their direction, you got to go your direction, and on the weekend, we got a break from each other and we can start over. Here, there's a problem when you don't get along with yourself, though. You can't get away from you. And what that leads to is a lack of peace and conflict constantly with yourself. And part of that is just simply because we've kind of lost this biblical view of you. Because everybody's determining who they are, why they're here, and what their purpose is from some viewpoint. And God has already settled that for you. I think a lot of us are having problems today. You know, I look around and I don't know how you're trying to figure out things. I'm always trying to figure out things and I'm not very good at it. But I see more people passionate and bent out of shape and tore up and building circles around political, social, and religious beliefs, not Christian beliefs, religious beliefs. You know why? They want to identify with something. As crazy as it may be, people want to identify with something, and when you don't know who you are and why you're here and what your purpose is, and you don't use a biblical viewpoint to determine who you are, guess what? It doesn't really matter what you choose. It can be something political, it can be something social, it can be something religious. And so what I want us to begin today is a journey over these next many weeks of determining our true identity. I believe in Genesis chapter 1, it starts with, it is maintained by, and it ends with God. I think one of my favorite verses, and I think the most powerful verse in Scripture for me, because I think it all kind of comes out of that, is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And what does it say? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So everything you ever deal with in life, everything you ever think about in life, trickles out of that. In the beginning, God. We live in this culture today that people want to self-identify. People want to assign a particular characteristic or categorization to themselves. They describe themselves as belonging to a particular category or group. It's called self-identify. It doesn't matter what you choose, but people say, well, this I identify this way. I identify, it can be gender, sexuality, a million other things. And I always think about that, and I think about Genesis. I think God has already self-identified you. Period. He said, I don't believe in God. That doesn't change it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if you got your Bibles, just flip over there, is the creation story, and God gets the pinnacle of his creation story in verse 26. And God has been going, let there be this, and let there be this, and let there be this, and look at this, look at how it changes. Verse 26, then God said, let us. Things get very personal. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. That's what we were celebrating this morning, right? Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Do you know who you are? You've been given great value and significance by God. Just think about it. He has made you unique. And if you just back up and pause a minute on that truth, that should give you great encouragement and great motivation to live from your true identity. People have debated forever, what does being created in the image of God mean? Well, we don't have time to settle all that today, but we want to kind of sum it up. It means that you have the ability to rule. He gave you a purpose. It means that you have the ability for relationships. It means you have the ability for reason and speech and moral consciousness. It means you're unique. But as I read that and I think about it and I look around the landscape of our world, you think about the people you know and you think about the people who are struggling in your life, there's a lot of people in the world that just don't feel special. They just don't feel unique. And I think, man, if you could just grasp Genesis chapter 1, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of where you find your story, that the creator of the world said, I thought of you. I dreamed you up. And I designed you in the likeness of me. Think about it. That's what you represent. You know, when I was a chaplain for Hoover football and baseball for 7 years, twice a year, a box would be delivered to me. And in that box would be clothing for that sport. I didn't buy clothes for like 7 years. And so multiple pairs of shoes and pants. And it was all one brand. The school had a contract with one brand. And so anytime I was on campus, I had to wear that brand. Anytime I was at an event, I had to wear that brand. Anytime I was at a game, I had to wear that brand. We represented that brand. My friend, you represent the brand God. No matter your family, no matter your history, no matter the situation or the circumstances that you came out of, you represent brand God. Woo! So I did that because you should have done that. Yeah, thank you. There we go. We're getting there. So there'll be other opportunities. But think about that. And so everything that you think about who I am and why I'm here and what's my purpose, it starts with God. It's maintained by God. And my friend, it's going to end with God. But here's the problem. That image was shattered. So you look around our society and going, this don't look like brand God. If this is brand God, I need to rethink things. No, the image was shattered. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them this thing called free choice. I want you to choose me. I want you to choose to be obedient. I want you to choose to follow me, to have relationship with me. and they didn't. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 puts it this way. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. You see, today, you still bear the image of God. But in Mississippi translations, it's messed up. So your ability to reason, your ability to have relationships, your ability to have moral consciousness, your ability to rule, your ability to relate to him and anybody else, it's messed up. It's called sin, and nobody escapes it. I saw an illustration this week, and I don't remember where it came from, what book I read it out of, but it says that today our lives are kind of like a shattered windshield. You ever seen a windshield that was shattered? It's still there, but it doesn't function properly. That's a windshield. Yeah, I know that, but with all those cracks and, you know, in the south with duct tape over it, it doesn't function properly. And so you and I were created in the image of God. It started with him. It's going to be maintained by him. It's going to end with him. But we live in this shattered state, that the image is still there. We read that in the book of James, but it's not functioning properly, so we don't relate to one another. All the problems of our society is the image got shattered. All the bad decisions, the image got shattered. All the isms and racism and hate in the world, the image got shattered. All the moral failure and the moral climate of our country, the image got shattered. And what was supposed to be a beautiful thing, is now this. But there's hope. See, there is a restored image that's taking place right now. Because in Romans chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19, we read this. It says, consequently, just as one trespass, that's Adam, resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act, the cross, resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, that one man was Adam, so also through the obedience of the one man, and your name's not there. The obedience of the one man is who? Jesus. The many will be made righteous. And so when Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross, he paid the price for your sin and my sin, so that in the end we're with him and ultimately restored. But in the process of that, he is restoring the image today. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ, not only does he make you right with his Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father looks at you as if you have never sinned. Whew. But what he does is he begins to restore that image. He begins that new self. Ephesians 4 puts it this way. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, that shattered image. And he simply says, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. See, everything was right, then it got all messed up, got shattered. And then he says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me tell you, friend, if you've come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there's still a lot of cracks. Whoo! But he's putting things back together. That's who you are. That's why you're here. And that is your purpose. That when you come to Jesus Christ, not only does he redeem you and make you right in the eyes of the Father, but he gives you a new self, and he begins to restore back to the original image, you. You. Let me ask you, do you know who you are? Genesis chapter 1 tells us you're created in the image of God. But as you begin to run through Scripture, do you know your story? We talk about all the time, it's on the wall, that Everybody's got a story, and every story matters to God and to us, but do you really know your story? We read in Psalm 139 and verse 13, it says that you created my inmost being, God. You created my inmost, you knit me together in my mother's womb. John chapter 1 verse 12 says that we are children of God, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God looks down at you today and goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. Cracks and all. He tells us in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that our Heavenly Father has forgiven you. Guess what? You can forgive yourself. A lot of you don't like yourself, and you don't want to go home with you. Ooh, but he's forgiven you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 reminds us that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. That means you can move on from the past. Do you know who you are? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, I love it. It's one of my favorite verses. You know it. He said, we are God's handiwork. It means masterpiece in the Greek. It means one of a kind. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It means that God had a vision for your life. And finally, Philippians chapter 1, and this is really good news. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says that being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, he hadn't quit on you. See, somebody else has quit on you because you were shattered. There's some people quit on you because you got too many cracks. But not God. He said, I'm putting it all back together. And one day, it will be perfect. But in the process, you got to know who you are. I thought about all these babies up here. I haven't been on a stage to do that but one time. In 21 years, I think. We do it in a different way over the last decade here, but we hadn't had them up on stage, and I was a little nervous. Because the last time I stood on stage with that many babies, I've had a baby. My baby's in college. But I thought to myself, if they can just get who they are. I don't know what's coming their way. I don't know what good, what bad, what circumstance. If they could just get that, if they can just get an accurate view of God, he's their Heavenly Father, and an accurate view of how God sees them, it'd change everything. We talk about all the time here that you need two things in life. You got to have an accurate view of God as he's revealed in Scripture. A lot of you don't have that. You don't see God as your Heavenly Father. You think he's just waiting for you to mess up. Maybe that's the kind of dad you had, that you have today. But he's your Heavenly Father. And he's chasing you down today, not to pay you back, but to bring you back. But also the second thing that you need is an accurate view of you as God sees you. Let me ask you this, when you think about who you are, what do you think God thinks when he thinks of you? One of the things I often read is written by Max Lucado. I hadn't originally planned to do that today, but I thought y'all needed to hear it. He wrote a book entitled You're Special, based on those scriptures. And this is what he says. You might get this. So promise me you'll never forget that you aren't an accident or an incident. You are a gift to the world, a divine work of art signed by God. He thinks you are the best thing to come down the pike in quite a while. Turn to the sidelines. That's God cheering your run. Look past the finish line, and that's God applauding your steps. God is for you. If God had a calendar, your birthday would be circled. he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name in the bark. You have captured the heart of God. He cannot bear to live without you. God's dream is to make you right with him. And the path to the cross tells us exactly how far God will go to call us back. So who are you? And let me ask you, why are you running from him? Why are you running from him? We just sang earlier the song, what? Run to the Father. For many of you today, your decision is this. Stop running. Oh, I know you're sitting in a church this morning, but let's be honest, you're running. You're running from who he's called you to be. For some of you today, that means, hey, I'm going to stop running and I'm going to come to Jesus as Savior and Lord. For some of you today, it's, I'm going to stop running today and I'm going to let him put the pieces back together. I'm going to stop trying to fix it myself. But why would you run from a God who would have your name on his bumper?